ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Continuing the discussion of Christianity, which was started yesterday, is only just touching the subject. It's a huge, vast subject, which our recent acharyas have discussed, not in a systematic way. There was one article in The Harmonist of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, an English magazine, which he pointed out some of the problems with Christianity, such as equating Jesus, a jiva, as being Bhagavan, which is Mayavad. So our recent acharyas have discussed this. Generically, it's been discussed in Shastra. All kinds of ideas that could possibly arise are generically discussed. Yepi anya devata bhakta yajante shadhayanvita tepi mam eva kauntaya yajantya vidhi purvakam. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that people who worship gods other than me, they're actually worshipping me, but they don't know what they're doing. They're doing it in a wrong way. So, is the god of Christianity Krishna? It's misconceived understanding. Definitely Jesus is not Krishna. He didn't claim to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So all forms of of worship, they are in some sense approaches to Krishna. Ye yata mam prapadyante tangas tathaiva bhajami aham, and Krishna reciprocates. Srila Prabhupada points out that even people who are not civilized, who live in the jungle, they'll worship some big rock, or they recognize there's something superior to them. So that's the beginning of God consciousness. Some people worship ghosts. They become ghosts. Bhutani yanti bhutej. Those who think that the ghosts are fit to worship, they become a ghost. So, in one sense, we can see God consciousness everywhere and in everything. Even people who are atheists, they still give respect to some others. The biggest atheist. Among the atheists, the biggest atheist is the most respectable person. And those who give no respect to anyone, they're just completely in the mode of ignorance. So, it's not that we're totally against Christianity, that we say that it's all bad. Definitely, many people do have what they consider to be deep religious feelings, but because it's not on the platform of knowledge of who actually God is, they can't fully or properly connect with Him. Oh, I was saying that generically these points are discussed in Shastra. Yesterday we read how different religions, even though they're supposed to be religion, but they encourage sense gratification. And thus people, they don't actually become purified by them. And we find that in the religions, all religious processes, except Buddhism, which doesn't really claim to be a religion, they encourage animal killing for eating the food, And in Buddhism, it goes on. Anyway. Most Buddhists are not vegetarians. They find some excuse, some way to do it, to kill animals. So this is an impure propensity to want to kill animals and eat meat, and that sinful propensity leads people to kill other humans. Someone in America made this platform that he wants to teach all the people of the world. He's having some success. It's called No Killing. There should be no killing. And he's got in some war-torn areas of Africa, he's teaching the people no killing. Under no circumstances should you kill anyone. So that's a nice idea, but it only applies to humans. They never thought of extending it to non-humans. So they'll go on not killing each other, but they'll kill all the animals. In traditional Indian culture, or we should say Vedic culture, there are many people who were reluctant to kill even a fly. Now the culture's changed. Pesticides are everywhere, killing so many creatures. The karmic reaction comes. So we may think that we're very religious, but if we're killing animals, that will result in killing humans also. That envious propensity will develop so that one wants to kill humans, plus the karmic reaction by which those who kill, they will be killed. So you may for some time suspend the killing of humans and think you're doing very well by stopping that by some propaganda. But because the propensity to kill others, to kill other living beings is there, that will spread to humans also. It's inevitable. It can't be stopped. All these peace conferences, they're all completely useless. It might seem that they have some use because they may stop some war for some time, but it doesn't stop the propensity for killing, which is sinful. So these different religions that promote this, undoubtedly, many people who are Christians or Muslims, they have some, they feel some reciprocation, some feeling from worshiping God, and they feel as very nice, God is protecting me, but it's a very low level of God consciousness, which doesn't purify, because then there's no process of purification. There's no idea of purification, that one has to become free from kam, krodh, lobh, moha. They're just, you believe and that's it. Yes, that's it. That's all you have to do. And you have to follow a few rules also. You know, you're not supposed to. They have some rules. They have 10 commandments in the Jewish religion, which was passed into Christianity. And there has been for centuries a major controversy within Christianity, the path of faith and the path of works, similar to in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, the Majaranyaya and the Markatanyai, the cat and the monkey, the idea that the monkey baby holds on to the mother, makes some effort to get the mother's shelter, whereas the kitten is just picked up by the cat because the cat just naturally has affection for the kitten. So the idea that you have to do something to get God's protection, and the other idea that no, you just surrender and then you don't do anything. So it's similar, the path in Christianity. You just believe in Jesus. All you have to do is say, I believe in Jesus, and you're saved. And the other, no, you have to do something. You have to feed the poor and be good and all this idea. So there's this controversy there. And those who are on the path of faith, they decry those on the path of works. They don't have a faith in Jesus. Just by saying, I'm a Christian, you'll be delivered. So there are some good things there, but at the same time we see there are some very fanatical and wrong and bad ideas in there, which we see in Christian conversion in India, that to get your 10,000 rupees or whatever they give you for converting, yet you have to show that you're really not a Hindu. So you have to get all the pictures from your house of demigods and trample on them, and you have to eat beef, and then they baptize you, usually with the water of the river like the Godavari or something like that. So they get the pure water, but you're not allowed to think that it's a holy river. So some very bad things there also. Srila Prabhupada on more than one occasion was asked by devotees, is it better to be a worshipper of multi-demigods in Hinduism, and even the worshipper of Kali, with the killing of animals, or is it better to be a Christian who believes in one God? And Srila Prabhupada said it's better to be a Hindu, because at least they're within the Vedic culture. So, I'll read something, one conversation of Srila Prabhupada. The question was put to Srila Prabhupada, what is the actual meaning of the sacrifice of the cross, Jesus dying on the cross? Remember that this is the central point of Christianity. It's not anything that Christ himself taught, but the Christians believe that Jesus, God sent his only begotten son, which Srila Prabhupada pointed out, that you say God has only one son. Well, even an ordinary man can have 10 or 12 sons. Well, what's this only son business? He said, we're all sons of God. Why? He's the father of everyone, not only of Jesus. Then what's our relationship with him? So the idea that God sent his only begotten son to suffer on the cross, to redeem all of the great sacrifice. So this is the whole imagery of Christianity. And you find Christians, they'll not at this time of year, during the Lent, that's the period going up to the Good Friday, which is the anniversary supposed to be of the crucifixion of Jesus, and then Easter, which is then he rises from the dead. God was dead, they say. Funny ideas. So the people during this period, they'll traditionally they'll do all kinds of penances, thinking, and then they'll reenact the scene of carrying the cross, and in some place they put them, still today, they put people on the cross and even bang nails in and all kinds of things. And so somehow the people survive. I don't know exactly how. So it's really at the heart of Christianity, how Jesus is suffering. And even there was a film made a few years ago of the crucifixion and Jesus being whipped and all this. And it's horrible. I know myself. I just thought this was horrible. All the churches, you'll see all the pictures of blood, and then the angels with swords and blood on. Of course, we also have Nrisimhadev, but that's. But within the context of Vaishnavism, that's blissful to understand this. But within the context of Christianity, the emphasis is on suffering, and how Christ is suffering. And then you get Christian sects who say we all have to suffer like Jesus, and there shouldn't be any enjoyment at all, and just suffer, suffer, suffer. And so very bloody. And then of course there was a whole Christian vendetta against the Jews, with the idea that it was the Jews who killed Jesus, so we have to kill the Jews. That's a great service to Jesus. He was also a Jew. So anyway, this question comes. Remember that the cross, the idea of the cross. So if you go in a church, you'll see a cross. As Srila Prabhupada also pointed out, what is this? They want to worship Jesus, and how do they always portray him? Well, they mostly portray him on the cross. It's like you can't get satiated with seeing his suffering. You want him to go on suffering and suffering and suffering. I heard that the Christians in India, they don't show Jesus on the cross because the Hindus can't relate to it because the God's supposed to be happy. So they have Jesus standing in a threefold bending form, playing a flute and things like that. Because God should be happy. What's the word? You want to worship God? You want to be like that? So the question, what is the actual meaning of the sacrifice of the cross? Jesus dying on the cross. What is the actual meaning? So much meaning has been ascribed to that for almost 2,000 years. Srila Prabhupada's reply, it has no meaning. No meaning. Srila Prabhupada said, the people were so rascal that they attempted to kill him because he was speaking of God. So we can understand the pollution of the then society, how intelligent they were. He had to deal with such rascals that he was speaking about God, and the result is that they wanted to kill him first. He preached, thou shalt not kill, and they killed him first. This is their intelligence. Now people are advanced. Those doctrines, they are not. Then it becomes indistinct. Then the question, did Jesus die on the cross to redeem all the sins of the world? Srila Prabhupada, this is another sinful thought. Jesus has taken a contract for ridding your sinful activities. That's a plea, what is called a plea for the sinners, that they will continue acting sinfully and Christ will take a contract to counteract. This is a most sinful conviction. Instead of stopping sinful activities, we have given a contract to Jesus Christ to counteract it. So Srila Prabhupada, he criticized this idea. Well, Jesus died for our sins. Well, we're very weak. We can't stop sinning. But anyway, it doesn't matter because Jesus died for our sins. So we can go on sinning. What can we do? We're weak. So Srila Prabhupada, he said, this is great rascaldom to think Jesus died for our sins so we can go on sinning. So these people are not actually getting free of their sins unless they stop sinning. Then Prabhupada, then what is the use of his preaching? That's a very good point, isn't it? Because if Jesus, the whole thing he did was die on the cross, and that's all you have to do, you have to believe it, then what was he preaching? What was all this preaching about? You are your brother's keeping, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and all this. He was preaching about God. To love God, to chant his name, hallowed be thy name. So if the whole thing was just to that he comes and he dies, then what was his preaching all about? So Srila Prabhupada said, they will continue sinful activities and Jesus Christ will take a contract for saving them. How nonsense idea this is. Bhavananda, do you think it is a good idea? Bhavananda, not a good idea, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, nonsense rascals. These people should be immediately hanged. Or maybe crucified. Srila Prabhupada, often Srila Prabhupada would say, he would praise that, the spirit of people being God-conscious via Christianity. He didn't try to change everyone from being a Christian. But then when he discusses what their philosophy is, he's actually, it's a very, very bad misrepresentation of the actual position of God consciousness. Now, it's not that all Christians emphasize all of these points. But definitely Christianity is based on this idea that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. And that he's God. So there are some very, very serious misconceptions there. And the consequence of these misconceptions is that in the name of God, people do many ungodly things. There's no idea in Christianity, for instance, that you shouldn't eat meat. There's this idea that God, it says in the beginning of the Bible that God gave man dominion over all creatures. That means he made the king of all creatures. So they take it to mean that, well, you can just cut them and kill them and torture them. They gave the idea that God gave the animals for us to enjoy. Their whole idea is that the world is for us to enjoy. But as Srila Prabhupada pointed out, it's just like if you say to someone, please look after my children, and then you come back after some time and say, where are my children? I looked after them very well. Your children were very nice. You ate them. Killed them and ate them. I mean, what is that? To look after them doesn't mean you kill them. There are some vegetarian Christian sects. But the mainstream Christianity is meat-eating. And they think vegetarianism is something wrong. As I once came out of our temple in central London and saw there was someone handing out leaflets to people visiting our restaurant, which is there. So he's handing out leaflets of Satan with horns and a nasty look on his face. Satan, I'll drag you to hell. And Satan was holding a plate, big plate, and on it there were cabbages, cauliflowers, carrots, apples, bananas. And it said, vegetarianism is from the devil. They're trying to stop people coming to our restaurant because they thought it's non-Christian to be a vegetarian. It was so ridiculous. So ridiculous. But the person, here you have a person who's been through, you know, maybe 15 years of schooling, supposed to be intelligent, and is so convinced that vegetarianism, and especially Krishna conscious vegetarianism, is evil, that he goes to the trouble of getting these leaflets printed. I don't know if he was part of a group doing it, and spending his time passing out these leaflets to people. It's amazing how unintelligent people can be, even after so many years of education. They don't have even any basic sense. Well, that's true of everyone. It's just expressed in different ways. By the way, this idea of Satan, this appears to have entered the Christian way of thinking and from Zoroastrianism, which is a religion that was prominent in Persia before it got converted to Islam, and the few Zoroastrians that survived, they left Persia and came to India, known as the Parsis. So their founder, he made up this whole idea of the battle between good and evil. The whole world is going on a battle between good and evil, and there's some sinister person who's combating the forces of good. And it's from this that the idea of Satan entered into Christianity and later Islam. And in Islam, when they go on the Hajj, everyone gets stones and throws them at Satan. And it's all just something which someone made up. There's no Satan. They're putting the blame on someone else. It's our own fault that we're in this condition due to our misuse of our own minute independence. It's not that there's some Satan there who's dragging us to hell, some evil force, just imagination. So many things. Jesus is God, and they say, but we know the Supreme Brahman is Anandamaya, Anandamaya Bhyasat. He's full of bliss. The Supreme Brahman doesn't come to this world and have a leela of having himself nailed to a cross and whipped. These are all very wrong ideas. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his songs, he says, don't criticize anyone because everyone's worshipping God in different ways. But in his Tattva Vivek, which is a work in which it's Sanskrit, written in Sanskrit with his own commentary in Bengali, in which he examines various modern philosophies at that time, which are prominent. One of them is Christianity. So, without mentioning Christianity, he writes, this is translated into English, and it is, of course, I won't read it in Bengali, because you don't understand. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, deliberating on the virtues and faults of this world, some moralistic monotheists, read Christians, concluded that the material world is not a place of pure happiness. Indeed, the sufferings outweigh the pleasures. They claim that the material world is a prison to punish the living entities. If there is a punishment, then there must be a crime. Well, okay, we agree with all of that so far. We can accept that. If there were no crime, why would there be any punishment? What crime did the living entities commit? Krishna bahimukhoya bhogavanchakore nikatastha mayatare japatiyadar. That's the answer we get. It's our own attitude of being inimical to Krishna. That then our whole attitude changes from one of love of Krishna to wanting to enjoy this material world. And Maya just catches us. So, unable to properly answer this question, the question, what crime did the living entities commit? Some men of small intelligence gave birth to a very wild idea. God created the first man and placed him in a pleasant garden with his wife. Adam and Eve. Then God forbade the man to taste the fruit of the tree of knowledge. Following the evil counsel of a wicked being, that means the talking snake, which is found in Genesis, which the Christians say is Satan, but actually it just says a talking snake. It doesn't say it's Satan, but later on they said it was Satan took the form of a snake. Once in Dublin, Ireland, I was distributing Sri Ishopanishad with the picture of Vishnu and with the hoods of the snakes. One Catholic priest came, this is the devil's work. See all the snakes. So, God forbade the man to taste the fruit of the tree of knowledge. Following the evil counsel of a wicked being, the first man and woman tasted the fruit of the tree of knowledge. In other words, they should have remained in ignorance. Thus disobeying God's command, in this way they fell from that garden into the material world filled with sufferings. Because of their offense, all other living entities are offenders from the moment of their birth. That's what they believe, because Adam ate a fruit, usually said to be an apple. Adam ate a fruit, and as a result, all the suffering, all the disease, all the mental anguish, all the poverty, all the starvation, all the torment, all of that since time immemorial in human society is because Adam ate an apple. The terrible crime. People believe this literally. The point that man has disobeyed God and therefore he's suffering, that's the point. But they take it literally, many of them. Although some, recently, about 3 years ago, some Christian leaders, some in England, they brought out a joint paper in which they said, well, these are the parts of the Bible that we believe and these are the parts we don't believe. That there are many who say, no, you just have to believe it all. And actually, it's difficult, as we know with Vedic Shastra, that if you just say, well, we believe this and we don't believe that, it becomes difficult because then the integrity of the whole Shastra becomes compromised. Of course, that's another big whole topic. We have like the Moshala Leela and Krishna's disappearance, which are considered illusory pastimes. Not that they didn't take place, but the external appearance of them is not all in all. And then we have sections of the Shastra which claim Shiva to be supreme, etc. So it requires, it requires much more sophisticated theology than is even dreamed of in this Christianity. To understand all these things. Because of their offense, all other living entities are offenders from the moment of their first birth. Not seeing any other way to remove this offense, God himself took birth in a human-like form, took on his own shoulders the sins of his followers, and then died. All who follow him easily attain liberation, and all who do not follow him fall into an eternal hell. In this way, God assumes a human-like form, punishes himself, and thus liberates the living entities. An intelligent person cannot make any sense of this. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's summary. Because why did Jesus die on the cross with all that suffering? Ultimately, because Adam ate an apple. It really doesn't make any sense. And if you say Jesus took the sinful reactions of everyone, but of course, from the description we hear, he did suffer tremendously. He was whipped and he had to carry the cross and then he was crucified. But there are many other people who have suffered similarly or more. He suffered, that took a few hours, that whole scene, but there are people who suffer. It's a very common thing that people suffer with cancer and they're racked with pain for days and weeks and months. Rak, that's the Russian word for cancer, right? Racked with pain. In English we have a saying, racked with pain. That comes from the, I presume that comes from the rack, which was a torture device, which was common in England, which the Christians used to torture each other, Protestants and Catholics, put them on the rack. They tie your legs, you tie up your feet on one end and your hands on the other, and then they turn the wheel so that it moves and you get pulled more and more and becomes extremely painful. And this way they try to torture you and get you to convert from being a Catholic and become a Protestant. This is the religious education that I had. We never heard what the Catholics did to the Protestants. We only heard what the Protestants did to the Catholics. So there are a lot of problems with this. Christians I've met in India, they say, oh, you're Krishna, he killed so many people, oh, Jesus is a God of peace and all this kind of thing. And you can say that, well, your God, he destroyed the whole city of Sodom. That's there in the Bible. You ever heard of that? You were brought in. You heard of that? How did you hear of it? No, how did you hear? You were raised in the communist times and you're from a Muslim family. You read the Bible. I see. I also read, I can't remember if it was the whole Bible or the New Testament, at some point, after I'd stopped believing in it. And after I'd stopped believing in the myths of Christianity, I read the Bible. But just to read it, I used to read so many books. So I thought it was interesting to read. It's an important book. Jesus comes off overall as a, you know, pretty outstanding person. Great personality, no doubt. To find someone like that, this Christian used to come and visit this at Katpadi. This homeopathic doctor used to tell us so many stories about the Bishop of Vellore and all this, which I won't repeat here now. Not such a saintly person, at least according to what this one said, this Christian told us. He used to tell us so many things. That was a lot of my problem also with, I think my first doubts came not from the philosophy, but from the people who were supposed to be Christians. And I found that it didn't do anything. They could be just as... I didn't find them any better than anyone else in their general behavior. And the priests, they weren't bad guys, but one, The priests I knew, the best among them, the most friendly, was a chain smoker. I wonder if he remained a priest. He didn't seem to be very religious. And, you know, they don't have any real spiritual knowledge. Another one, I know, he had this nice house. It was all new church, a new house built for him. He'd come out and do the mass. Then he'd just sit and he'd watch TV all day. All day, just watching TV, all day, every day, just watching TV. Yeah. I couldn't find any inspiration in that. So, if we're going to talk about God, it should be so overwhelming that we're not interested in petty things. How can you be interested in petty things if we consider our relationship with Krishna? Or even Jesus, for that matter. So, this once in a public meeting, someone challenged Prabhupada. Jesus is coming soon, and Srila Prabhupada said, "Very good. We'll welcome him. We'll give him all due. We'll be happy to see him." But if Jesus came today, would he go in the church? I wonder. We'd hope that he'd join. Well, naturally, a God-conscious person would want to join the Sankirtan movement. But we have to see. Just like if theoretically, we'd say if Srila Prabhupada came today, would he be happy to join our ISKCON? I think so, but he'd make a lot of changes if people were ready to listen to him. I don't know. They might tell him you're out of date. I don't know. It's a normal thing that when a great religious reformer comes, that his followers, they just change everything and convert it into another form of materialism. So we'll have to be careful not to do that. Well, it's already going on in full swing, but at least those who really want Prabhupada's gifts, we should try to live as Srila Prabhupada wanted us to live, and not convert Krishna consciousness into some other form of religious materialism. So, Hare Krishna. That's all for now. Oh yeah, the questions came. The questions were sent to the Pope. The modern Pope is the present Pope is a modern guy, and he took some questions. 20 questions. People were asked to send him questions. People all over the world, and then 20 were selected for him. And one of them was, why is there suffering in the world? And he said, well, it's a very difficult question and we don't really know, but we have faith that God is... The traditional answer is because of Adam ate an apple. But he said, we don't know, it's very difficult to understand, but we should understand that God means well. He didn't know. Basic theological question. He said, we don't know. He's the leader of, supposed to be the religious leader of so many people. And we don't know. So that's called blind faith, where you just believe something, but you don't have any intelligent basis for understanding it. And when one blind faith comes in contact with another blind faith, then there's fighting. Srila Prabhupada often said that. He said that people from India come to America for higher education in technology. So if you're actually serious to understand God, then if you see there's higher knowledge being presented here, then why don't you take it if you're actually serious to understand God? But most people are just stuck in their dogmatic sectarian position. They don't really want to. They just want to be where they are. They don't want to actually understand who is God and what is our duty toward Him. None of these things. Jesus and Muhammad are representatives of God. They were preaching according to time, place, and circumstance. They preached at a lower level. Why didn't Jesus preach Krishna consciousness at the time? Well, why didn't Buddha or Shankara or Ramanuja or Madhva give Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message? Well, he himself, he's the only one to do that. There is preaching according to time, place, and circumstance, and people are born in a certain circumstance at a certain time in a certain place according to their previous activities and their previous desires. This special mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's not always there. It's not always available. Mercy is always there, but it's not. That was mercy for the people of Palestine at the time. Of course, Jesus wasn't the only religious preacher at the time. There were all kinds. In fact, there was one of the main claims for the Christians that Jesus was God was all these miracles that he performed. But there was a whole group of people in Greece who followed someone else who'd been to India and taken knowledge. It's all documented. You've read it in that book, although it doesn't give the other part about the Christians. How he came to India, he learned so many things from the yogis in India. He came back to Greece and he was doing all kinds of miracles, much more than Jesus. And so the people in his followers are saying, why should we accept Jesus as God? Our fellow, something beginning with A, I can't remember his name. He did much, he was much more powerful, but he didn't claim to be God. And so this was a great challenge for Christianity, which they met in their usual unsophisticated way of defaming, making stories about this person and his followers, and then ultimately just persecuting them. We hear a lot about how the Christians were persecuted, the early Christians, and how they make a big fuss if there's any persecution of Christians anywhere or mistreatment, but they themselves are quite expert in this activity. If people don't agree with them, even when the Portuguese first came to India, they discovered there were these Christians already there. So they're quite happy at first. But then they discovered that these Christians didn't follow the Pope. They never heard of any Pope because their Christianity started much earlier and they never had any relationship with any Pope. So the Portuguese, just to do a great service to God, just tortured them and killed them and all this kind of thing. As usual Christian activity. The Christians were mostly further south in Kerala. All kinds of things. I mean, just horrible. Overall, if you examine what is Christianity, it's not. It's nothing to be very. It's not attractive. Jesus himself and some personalities within the tradition, no doubt, are saintly people. In Russia in the 19th century, there was this whole movement of people just wandering all over the country, chanting the name of Jesus. Jesus have mercy, Jesus, they just say over and over again, and that's what they're doing. They just wander here and there, just like that. So they were serious, no doubt. Before the Russian Revolution, some Christians, wanting to get away from the materialism of modern life at that time, they left mainstream civilization, went way out into Siberia, made their own little settlement of Christians. You heard about this? Then after Glasnost, after communism ended, that community, several generations later, was discovered way out in the forest in Siberia. And they were Christians living a very basic life, trapping animals and eating them and this kind of thing, studying the Bible. They'd never heard of communism. The communism came and went, and they had no idea about it whatsoever. So they were serious. We can say they're serious. There are people, even in the modern age, some people, they moved up to the north of Canada and the same idea, living very simply, just so they can be Christians. And then the way, long away from regular civilization. This is just in the recent years. And then they started doing shale, extraction of oil from shale in the area, and just spoiled everything. Everything. Shale is some kind of rock from which oil can be extracted at a tremendous cost to the environment, much worse than drilling oil from under the earth. So, where can you go? You can't hide. You're going to go away. Dushtaman tumi kishe vaishna pratishta atare nirjana ghare tomar hari naam kevala kaita. Running away from the world to chant Hare Krishna, you might think I'll live very peacefully, but then you'll find that on the mountain that you've gone to in the jungle, someone thought there's some oil underneath it, and all of a sudden your bhajan kuti is you're thrown out of it so that someone can drill for oil. These things are going on in Mangalore area. So many people have been living on their land for generations, and they're forced, not only in Mangalore, so many places, forced off the land, their ancestral property, because an oil refinery is coming up. And that was the problem in Nandigram, in West Bengal, and in Orissa, and so many places. Government just throws people off the land. They've been there for generations, and then the government says, what we really need here is an oil refinery or a factory, a massive township with them, and they just throw them off. So that's got nothing to do with Christianity. But that's one major reason that this Maoism has come up in India, because people feel they have no other recourse. So we should teach Krishna consciousness and live it and establish Varnashram. Hare Krishna. So today's Christ's birthday. No. Well, it might be. There's one in 365 and a quarter chances that it's actually Jesus' birthday. Probably not. Hare Krishna.